Anybody else need one down there? It's a good seat. This is the new sheets. We're going to give those out today.
Okay, so we left off yesterday. We were discussing just how the halachas of Malech or Oseach are playing out outside of your day, outside of the regular rules of Blios, particularly how they play out in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. And we saw Machlekes from the Ramban and the Ran. Is it possible for there to be an Issa Deraisa of being Maleach meat on Shabbos? So the Ramban said it's impossible. It can't be. There's no such thing. That Maleach is never considered to be an act of Bishul. Bli it is, Bishul it's not. And that's what ultimately led the Ramban to believe that the rules of Bliyas don't even follow the regular rules of Bishul. And that led to a Bichumra for the Ramban to say that you can have Bliyas in a Klisheni, even though you can't have Bishul in a Klisheni. And the Ran undermined the entire premise of the Ramban. The Ran said, it's not true. There's no such thing that if a person is Maleach meat on Shabbos, it's as if you barbecued, as if you roasted up, as if you heated up the meat, and you will potentially be Chaya for Bishul. So we saw that the major Machlaikis have shown him just literally tight in the phrase, Maleach kirosech, is the kaf, an absolute equation, that the rules are really the same. It is an act of tzli. But do I say no? That it's not an act of tzli. It just means that it has some characteristics of tzli. It creates belias like tzli, but is it really truly an act of tzli? It's not really an act of tzli. So we just pointed out at the very end of the Shia that according to the Ran who claims that there would be a deraisa of being maleach meat, that's a little bit startling because even if you actually cook meat, if you cook it in the sun, so you're going to be potter because you require an eish, you require to have a toldos eish, toldos or. So how could it be that salt is going to be worse to cook in the sun? So we explained at the very end of the show yesterday, based on Rashi, that the whole reason why Bishul Mechama is potter is not because Bishul Mechama is not really Bishul. It's Bishul. It's physically, chemically, it's the same Bishul. The only thing is that it's not dakar bakach, it's not normal. So it's not normal to heat up things in the sun, but it is normal to salt meat. So whatever is considered to be dark, you don't really need a fire in order to be chayav. So we're going to hopefully come back to that svar in the next sugya. It's going to come back to us much, much greater depth. But at least at this point, we're pretty comfortable in discovering a machlekes in Rishon, the Ramban, and the Ran. And again, the machlekes really boils down to what does ki mean? What does ki maliach, maliach ki rosech, that's really mean? Does it mean it literally, or does it mean it just has properties of belias? Well, the we could test case our question again in other areas of Allah and see, is Maliach really do an act of tzli or not? Is it really kenitzah? Is it really like it's cooked? Or is it just vis-a-vis blias? We have to just search for other areas of halachas where bishul is important. So wherever we looked for other models in halacha about bishul, so some of the popular ones we looked to basar b'cholov, we looked to bishul akum, we looked to bishul korban pesach, and one of the others that we're going to look to now is another din of mevushal, another din of bishul, and that's the din of eruv tafshilin. So eruv tafshilin kishmo kenu requires that the food that you use be a davar mevushal, be something that was cooked, and the question becomes: can we apply maliach kiroseach to the halachas of Erev Tavshilin in the first place? So before we get into the intricacies of this, let's just make sure we understand exactly what we're looking for in terms of Erev Tavshilin. First thing we have to be aware of, that Erev Tavshilin is only a din midrabanan. The whole institution of Erev Tavshilin is only a midrabanan, which already is going to raise a little bit of a question, just how exact this is going to be as a science. We're trying to define whether something is called an act of bishul or tzli midaraisa. We're talking about a yichai of skila and shabbos for something. We want to know, is it really, really bona fide act of bishul? And you're going to bring me a raya from Erev Tavshilin, and that may or may not be a raya. You know, again, whenever we try to mix and match the rabbanos and deraisas, on the one hand, we have to always highlight the fact that kol detikun rabbanon kein deraisa tikun, that Chazal instituted dinim derabbanon not in a vacuum, but rather they look to models deraisa to institute the details of the intricacies of dinim derabbanon. On the other hand, push comes to shove, it's on the Rabban. So it's lav dafka, that's a perfect replica of klal midaraisa. So we're a little bit up in the air. We're not 100% sure whether finding something in Erev Tavshilin is going to be a proof positive on a level of deraisa, but maybe it'll give us a little bit of indication. Why is Erev Tavshilin only midarabanan? It's cooking, you're not allowed to cook. The answer is, well, minat Torah, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Belishim sofik. There's nothing wrong with cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos for one of two reasons. First of all, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Vav that maybe the reason why it's permissible in that Torah to cook on Yom Tov the Shabbos is because Min HaTorah, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for the next day anyway, for Yom Chol anyway. Why? Because, what do you mean you're cooking for tomorrow? Maybe a guest will show up later in the day. Just because it's 5 o'clock, maybe a guest will come. So a guest will come, so then you'll feed the guest at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it'll turn out that you really cook Letzorech HaYom. So we can never really label Bishul on Yom Tov as not Letzorech HaYom, even if you're personally not intending on it being Letzorech HaYom. But Afal Bichein, maybe it's always viewed in Halacha as being Letzorech HaYom, because Hol Mikalei Orchim. That's one reason. As I mentioned the other day, that last week, so I ended up having to take someone to the hospital on Shabbos. So I ended up in a hospital not far from YU on Shabbos. So it was late in the afternoon, and I hadn't had a suda yet, I hadn't had a kiddush yet, I hadn't done anything yet. So I had a couple of minutes, so I ran over to YU just to be a mamash to make a kiddush and have a suda Shabbos. So I walked into one of my friends in the Heights' house at 2:30 in the afternoon.
You were the
Orchim. So he said to me, his first lines were, he said, "You've justified Erev Tavshilin." That was his initial reaction. He asked me what I'm doing there. He said, "I was the last person in the world to expect to see, you've justified Erev Tavshilin, Hol Mikalei Orchim." To which I responded, "M. Kane, you're allowed to cook on Shabbos." That was my response. So it's funny, because there was a deeper meaning in that joke, because as a Tosis in Pesachim that asks the Kasha, Tosis says, if you accept the principle of Hol Mikalei Orchim, since I always view what I'm doing as potential, even though it's not, in reality, guests may not really show up. 9 out of 10 times the guests aren't going to show up, but they could show up. So that is Mafkiya, the Yisra Derais Abishol. So Tosis asks the Kasha, Im Kain, it should be Mutter to cook on Shabbos also. Why? Hol Mikalei Cholashesh Prasakana. Maybe there'll be a Cholashesh Prasakana. It's like a very negative way of looking at the world, that maybe an emergency will happen. So Tosis says, no, you don't say hol on that, because that's a milsa d'lo shchicha. He says, it's somewhat likely. It's going to be a chalashesh for sakana. Come on, it's going to be a chalashesh for sakana. 1 in a million chances. Yom Tov guests come. So Tosis says it's considered to be a milsa d'lo shchicha, and therefore it's not within the guidelines, within the parameters of hol. So others are bothered by Tosis' kasha in the first place. Some think that the kasha didn't even go off the ground. Hol doesn't make any sense by Shabbos. It makes sense by Yom Tov. They try to explain to you what conceptually the difference is. So that was all the give and take when those two sacrifices. Can you give me kiddush and suda? We'll talk the whole jokes for later. But back to the story. So the Gemara says that the way we pass in the halacha, it's mutol lechatchila min haTorah to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So for sure you're allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But mid the Rabban and Chazal didn't like this. It doesn't look right. It looks like it's a bizayin of Yom Tov. And therefore Chazal said, don't cook mid the Rabban and don't cook from Yom Tov to Chol. And included in that gezeira is don't cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos either. Because if they let people cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then the next thing you know is they're going to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. But Chazal were now in a little bit of a quandary, because on the one hand, they really don't want people cooking for the next day, because that's going to lead to a terrible zilzul of Yom Tov. On the other hand, what are you going to eat for Shabbos? There's no food. You know, what are you possibly going to have? Well, you're going to cook food from before and freeze it. In the old days, they didn't have that option. So you're going to go 2 days without having any. How in the world are you going to prepare for Shabbos? So Chazal decided to go with the following kula. They said that, again, this is all midrabban, it's not minatara. Minatara, you can cook straight out from Yom Tov to Shabbos, because all the guests may show up late Friday afternoon. But midrabban, you're not allowed to. So Chazal said, what we're going to do is as follows. To make a heker, to make it clear to people that you're not really cooking on Yom Tov for the next day, we're going to say, start the bishul process from beforehand, and just put the final touches on Friday. So in people's minds, psychologically, get. If this would be a Nisa Deraisa, this would be absurd. But since it's only a Nisa Derabanan anyway, so psychologically, we're almost like fake people out the thing. You're not really cooking on Yom Tov Shabbos. You're just finishing what you already started from before Yom Tov. How much do you have to start? So Chazal said, not so much. Just a little something. Cook up one dish. Cook up a little piece of gefilte fish. Cook up an egg. Cook up a piece of chicken. Do something. Start the ball rolling on Erev Yom Tov. And then you can put the finishing touches on. Finishing touches, you're going to make cholins and soups and kugels and make chai. That's okay. As long as conceptually you started from beforehand, that's all right. And that was the Takon of Erev Tavshilin. So the Takon of Erev Tavshilin was to prevent people from mistakenly thinking that it's perfectly okay to cook from Yom Tov to the next. No, we don't want people to do that. Midrabanan, I'll tell you aloud. Midrabanan, we don't want that. It's a zilzul of Yom Tov. And the Takon of Chachamim was is that you have to make an Erev Tavshilin to start the process. Then there was a further machlekes hatanoim about when you start the process on Erev Yom Tov, do you have to start the process for every single kind of process, or just start it with one tafshil, that's good enough? So let's say, Lamashal, I want to bake. I'm planning on baking on Friday for Shabbos. So according to one Dana, you have to now start the baking process. So it's not enough just to put a piece of gefilte fish. You have to put a challah roll also. You have to bake a batz. You have to bake a challah roll. You have to put one aside. The din is you can use an erev tavshilin even though you didn't mamish make it. Even though the challah roll was made in the bakery a week before. That it was made by the matzah bakery 6 months before. That's also okay. As long as you designated it, that's also according to you started it. So according to some Tanoim, you have to start the bishul process. And you have to start the afiyah process. Or else you can only do bishul, you can't do afiyah. And other Tanoim say no, that Erev Tafshilin Tiknu Chachamim, as long as it's a Tafshil covers everything. So that's a Wipaskin. Wipaskin Me'ik Me'ikir Adin, that one Tafshil covers all. That there's really no need to put aside a challah roll or a matzah, it's not really necessary. So why do we do that? Well, everybody knows that you put aside an egg, and or if he's a gefilte fish, if he's a chicken, and a matzah, or a challah roll. Why do we do both? Because Rabbi Natan disagreed. Rabbi Natan was of the opinion, he was a das yochid, that Wipaskin like the Tana, that you need both a dover, a mevushal, and a dover, a ne'afah. So in deference to Rabbi Natan, we follow both. Why do we follow Rabbi Natan? And this was Mamash Das Yachid. So the story with the Ri, because the Ri was the Rabbi Natan's nephew. The Ri's mother was Rabbi Natan's sister. So the Ri, Rabbi Yitzhak, grew up in the house of Rabbi Natan. His parents sent him away. If you got an uncle like Rabbi Natan, they'd send you away also when you're a little boy. So they sent him to Rabbi Natan, and he learned this whole youth by Rabbi Natan. He lived in Rabbi Natan's house. So he spent many, many Yom Tov with Rabbi Natan. So he disagreed with Rabbi Natan on this. He disagreed with his illustrious uncle. And he said, my uncle, hell, the hell that you have to have a challah roll and a gefilte fish. I don't think it's right. I think a gefilte fish is good enough, an egg is good enough. But then at the very end, after arguments and kashas and kashas and kashas, then you see a little bit like a warm side of the Ri. The Ri writes that, Lo ma'ani libi la'avo divrei dodi. I didn't have the heart to disagree with my uncle. I disagreed with him in the Beis Medrash. I disagreed with him in Lomdus. I've been spending Yom Tov for 20 years in my uncle's house, and I've watched him since I was a little boy putting up a challah roll. I'm going to go change it now. So even though I don't think it's right, I think it's superfluous, it's unnecessary, but no, kachazeh, that's the beautiful lashon, very, very, heartwarming lashon. Ani libi lava divrei dodi. I didn't have the heart to disagree with, to argue with my uncle.
It seems to stop them from going after their grandfather.
Yeah. I mean, they changed that for a bit of time, and no problem wearing a different film than his grandfather were. Yeah. I guess, by their ice, it's film. What are you going to do? You have no choice. But they're abundant after shoot. You throw in another challah roll for good luck. So at the end of the day, we also don't have the heart to disagree with Rabbi Natan, even though we didn't grow up in Rabbi Natan's home, we never spent Yom Tov there. But the Minhag Yisrael has become like the Ri, that we put aside the challah roll, yes, it's ace, even though it's not really mikra did.
But that's the case, how should you have to say Erev Tashilim with, in a community with someone else's...
So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Maseches Beitza, that technically speaking, if somebody makes an Erev on your behalf, if they're Zocha, if you own part of the Erev, so they're mezakeh to you, and you own part of the Erev, technically speaking, you can be yotzei with theirs. The Gemara says, therefore, the Rav of the community is supposed to be mezakeh part of his Erev to everybody in the community in case somebody forgets. But the Gemara says, we don't like this idea. We don't want to encourage people to do this. We really want people to make their own Erev, because the real takana will be fulfilled properly with everyone's own Erev. So Chazal gave you one chance. Chazal said, if you forgot your Erev Tafshilin once, so then you can rely on the Rav of the community. But the Gemara tells a story about there was somebody who forgot it twice in a row. So he said, for you, we don't have in mind to be mezakeh for you, and you have to be hungry. You gotta go find food somewhere else. You gotta borrow food, go figure out Nate's how to get food without an Erev Tafshilin. So it's a one-time deal. There is a machlekes acharonim, whether that one-time deal, the fact that Chazal made a knas, that if the person relies on this too often, they don't let it more than once, is that twice in a row or twice in a lifetime? Mm-hmm. That's a big, big difference. You have a lot of guys have come up to me, every Yom Tov a guy comes up to me and says, Rabbi, I forgot to make an Erev. So I always ask them, what happened last Yom Tov? So if the guy says, the last time I made it, I go, I don't ask him what happened 20 years ago. I'm in against Lahakil. But if the guy says to me, yeah, if I reckon it, he's the same guy from last time I forgot. So then Taka, he'll be hungry when Yom Tov, his wife will make sure that he won't forget. He'll leave me, yeah, okay. Let's get back to that story. So an Erev Tafshilin requires a Tafshil. It has to be something that's cooked. So now the question becomes, what if you have a food that's not cooked, but it's salted? It's edible. It's a food. It was a raw food. If you have just a plain apple, you can't use an apple an Erev Tafshilin. You can't use a food that wasn't cooked. But if it was a food that was salted, was made edible through salting, so maybe one can argue that's ki'ilu, it was prepared through like cooking, through roasting, whatever it is, so maybe that's good enough, or maybe I say no, that wouldn't be acceptable. So that sounds almost like it should shed light on our shayla. If you hold that, these halachas of kamash kevavusho, melech kerosayach, mean that the process has already happened to it. It's really, really been affected by the real process. So then maybe that would be sufficient for Erev Tavshilin. Whereas if you hold that, all Malach Rosech means is that it has a taste of Tzli. It has Blias, it has absorption, transferring of taste like Tzli, but it's not really Tzli, and presumably that would fall short. So there is a Gemara, in Maseches Beitza, Daf Tezayim et Aleph, that says something. We're just not quite sure what it says. According to some, it says one thing. According to the others, it says the exact opposite. So let's take a look for ourselves and see what we think the Gemara says. So it comes the Gemara on the 15th of the Mamakumis. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav. Dagim ketanim meluchim, ein behem yishub b'shalei nochrim. If you have little salted fish, there's no problem with bishalachav on them. What does that mean? So even though it was a non-Jew who salted the fish and presumably made the fish edible, that's not considered to be bishalachav. Normally, if a non-Jew cooks food, that's a problem. But apparently, that issur d'rabban of bishalachav that was made mishum chastas to prevent too much intermingling, too much socializing with the non-Jews. So that issur d'rabban was only made if you cook something. If you simply salt something, presumably the issur bishalachav wasn't made on it. Now the Gemara continues. Amar of Yosef. V'imtzola nochri, but if the non-Jew went ahead and not just salted it, but he actually went ahead and he roasted it, so mechalem shemeruv tafshilin. So then this fish is gevaldik now, the fish is kosher, even though it was salted by a goy, it was roasted by a goy, it was totally completely prepared by a goy, so that's okay. You're allowed to eat it, it's not a problem with bishalachom. And so mechalem shemeruv tafshilin. And you're allowed to now use this fish for an Erev Tavshilin. So there are really two different halachas that are being presented to us. The sugya in Beitza is really an Erev Tavshilin sugya, but in passing, the Gemara is discussing some details, intricacies of Bishalachim. So the Gemara is really telling us a whole series of halachas. Number one, salted fish is not a problem with Bishalachim, because presumably the reason is because the goy didn't cook it, he just simply salted it. Number two, even though the goy subsequently roasts it, there's still not a problem with bishalachim. Why not? Why is there no bishalachim in process number two? So presumably the reason is because it was already nechal the way it was. The rule is that bishalachim only applies to food that was inedible in the raw state. Let's say if a goy cooks you carrots, that's not bishalachim. If a goy heats you water, that's not bishalachim. A goy makes you baked apple, that's not bishalachim, because I could have eaten it without the goy. So that's called nechal kemoshu chai. And nechal kemoshu chai is an explicit gemara, there's no bishalachim. Why that is the machlek is rishon, but lemais, that's the din. Any food that's edible raw is not called bishalachim. So comes Rav and says that these salty fish are edible raw, as long as there's a lot of salt on them, people could eat them raw. The fact that the goy subsequently roasted it for me, that's lamal v'lamayri, that doesn't affect bishalachim, that is permissible. And once the goy roasted it for me, here's the good news, it's now acceptable for Erev Tavshilin. What's the clear implication of this statement? That Kodem, the goy, roasted it for me, I cannot use it for Erev Tavshilin. Even though it's edible, we just got finished saying, if it's not edible, then there would be a bishalacha problem. So in the state of being salty, it's not mamish raw inedible food. It is edible food, and it has undergone a process of malicha, of maliach karoseach, the afal pichein, it would be not acceptable for Erev Tavshilin. Why not? Why can't I use it for an Erev Tavshilin? So the answer is because it wasn't cooked. Why was it? What do you mean it's not cooked? Maliach karoseach. So the answer is, well, bleez happened to it, but it wasn't cooked. Because just as the Ramban told us that you're not chayef from a vashel on for maliach, because maliach is not an act of bishul, it's not a real process of preparing food. All it is simply a transfer of tastes. So the din is Erev Tavshilin. It's not called Erev Bleez, it's called Erev Tavshilin. So it has to be a Tavshil. And that's why it's no good. So the simple pshat of this Gemara Beitza is that just as it's not acceptable for Erev Tavshilin, that would indicate for us that it's not called an act of Bishul, and therefore you wouldn't be Chayav and Shabbos. Again, we're mixing and matching the Raisas and the Rabbanas, but we sound like we're on the same page. So that's the simple pshat of this Gemara, V'mtzol Anochri, Simachal Mish Erev Tavshilin, in contrast to before Tzol Anochri, before the roasting. And presumably the reason is because it's not really mevushal. So there is a startling Magen Avram in the 16th of the Mamakomus, in the Siman about Erev Tavshilin, where the Magen Avram almost says this, but then adds a nekud at the end that is very, very difficult to understand. So comes the Magen Avram and says, Aval b'maliach, afa b'shiroi l'achila. If I salt something, even though by doing so I made it roi l'achila, Eima arvin, it's not acceptable. You cannot use salted food for an after shilin. Kidyamrina bedarim kitanim. And he quotes the Gemara in Beitz about the small salted fish. And now he brings you a Ryan. Why is this so? Why is this halacha true? Kidi isa bechulin, as it says in Maseches Chulin, believe it or not, our sugya. All of a sudden, tucked away in the end of Erev Tavshilin, the Magen Avraham references our Gemara. What does it say in our Gemara? Shmaliach harel kiroseach, kovush harekim avushul. Remember, we first started this sugya 2 weeks ago. The Gemara said that salted is like roasting, and kovush is like kimavushul. Therefore, when you soak things, it spreads entirely. When you salt things, it only spreads because they cleep it. It spreads a very, very small amount. So the Gemara was very, very clear at the beginning of our sugya that maliach is not kimavushul. It's kitzli. It's like roasting, but it's not kimavushul. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, mashma de maliach ena kimavushul. It's mashma from here that maliach is not like mavushul. It's only like tzli. And as tzli, it's not acceptable for Erev Tav Shilin, because after all, doesn't Erev Tav Shilin have to be a Tav Shil? That's what the Magen Avraham just said. So the Magen Avraham says, I'm going to bring you a Rai, I'm going to explain to you the Lomdus, why is salted fish not acceptable for an Erev Tav Shilin? Because it's tzli, because Baliach Kirosech that's tzli, but it's not Mavushal, and for Erev Tav Shilin, you need Mavushal. The problem, all the Acharonim jump at the Magen Avraham and say, the facts are wrong. It's not true. Tzli is also good for Erev Tav Shilin. If I take a piece of meat and I barbecue it, I can't use that for Erev Tav Shilin. Of course you can. The Gemara said b'feirish from Tzala Nachri Sabach Lemishim Erev Tav Shilin. The same Gemara that the Magen Avraham said. The Magen Avraham couldn't have forgotten that Gemara. It's the next three words in the Gemara. So the Magen Avraham is looking at that Gemara and he's telling you that if you tzola something, it's not called Erev Tav Shilin, and that's the reason why Maliach falls short. So all the Acharonim jump and say Pilei Plum. That's not the reason why it falls short. The Magen Avraham's din is right, v'lami tamei. So different Acharonim try to explain what the Magen Avraham was driving at, why he gave that cryptic line. The Poshup shot is the Magen Avraham's din is 100% right, but not for that reason. The reason why Maliach is not acceptable, not because it's tzli. It's not acceptable because it's nothing, because Maliach is not an act of tzli. It's not an act of bishul, not an act of tzli, it's not an act of anything. It has bleas like tzli, but it's not an act of tzli, and therefore it's not acceptable. So Poshup Shat, the Magen Avraham, is correct lahalacha, even though we don't quite understand the reason that he gave. So it sounds like it's an open and shut case. It sounds like we have a Beferisha Gemara that Maliach cannot be used for Erev Tav Shilin. Doesn't that indicate for us something about what Maliach is or is not? That's assuming that we have our facts right. Assuming that we're correct, that Maliach cannot be used for Erev Tav Shilin. In fact, right. The Gemara just said it. The Gemara said, Mtsala Nachri Samach Lemishim Erev Tav Shilin. So comes the Chacham Tzvi in a tshuva, and he writes that everything we just said is 100% correct, according to those Rishonim who have the Girsa of the Gemara the way we just read it. Says the Chacham Tzvi, I'm going to read you the Gemara the way there is another Girsa. The other Rishonim had a different Girsa of the Gemara. Let's go back to the 15th of the Maamar Kamos, and we'll make believe we're going to read it the new way. Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav, Dagim Ketanim, just take an eraser, erase the next word. Dagim Ketanim, Ein Behem Mishu Mishulein Achrim. Says the Chamtzvi, if you look, there half the Rishonim didn't have the word Meluchim in the Sugya. There was no word Meluchim in the Sugya. What was the Gemara talking about? It was talking about raw fish. It was talking about raw, small, raw fish that wasn't salted. And the Gemara is saying, no problem, there's no Bishalachim on it. Even if the goy roasts it, there's no Bishalachim on it. Why not? If it wasn't edible, nothing happened to it before. It was fish. So what? Sushi? What made it not bishalachim? So says the Chamtzvi for a totally different reason. Why is the Gemara talking about dagim ketanim, little fish? What's wrong with big fish? Says the Chamtzvi, we misread the entire Gemara. The reason why there's no bishalachim is because it's a cheap, insignificant, very, 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 very cheap kind of fish. It's what's called Eina Ola Shulcha Malachim. The Gemara of Adazar says, if you have a very, very inexpensive food that would never be served at a king's table, there's no bishalachim on it. The Gemara is not even talking about salted fish. The Gemara is talking about cheap, little shvacha piece of fish. So Al Zen Nemar, the Gemara, Dagim Ketanim, cross out the word Maluchim, there's no bishalachim on them. And Tzala Nachri, and if a goy goes ahead and roasts it, so then Taka Sobach Lebeshim Erev Tav Shilin. Why does the goy have to roast it? Because if he didn't roast it, then nothing was done to it. That it's raw food. Raw food is not acceptable for Erev Tav Shilin. What would it din be if it was salted? Says the Chamtzvi, I have no idea. Maybe it would be good. V'ishtei in the Gemara that salted is no good. The only source in Chazal that salted food, Maliach Kirosech, is not a good enough Erev Tav Shilin, is if you have the Girsa, Dagim, Ketanim, Meluchim, and then the Gemara says, Nebuchim Tzolan, then It's good for Erev Tavshilin, implying that the fourth Sliya wouldn't be acceptable, implying that Maliach is not good for Erev Tavshilin. But if you don't have the word Maluchin, then the Gemara is not even talking about the topic. So the Gemara is not talking about the topic. What's the din? I don't know what the din is. Maybe it is good, maybe it is, maybe it's not. I have no idea. So Chacham Tzvi threw a curveball at everything we're saying. So we thought we had finally discovered, after 16 Maamar Kamos, we thought we finally discovered something about what Maliach is not. The Maliach is just not real, real, real Tzli. It's no good for Erev Tavshilin. So Chacham Tzvi, how do you know your facts are even right? Your facts are only right according to Hefer Shem. The other Hefer Shem, the facts are wrong. So after 16 Marmakomos, we throw our hands up and we say, there are a lot of things about Malik Rosech that we don't know. There are probably more that we don't know than we do know. So we know that Malik is Kirosech. We know. We know that Malik is Kirosech. And that's what we paskin. Malik is like Tzli. How far does Malik spread? Your guess is as good as mine. How far does Tzli spread? Your guess is as good as mine. So some Rishonim said, however far Tzli spreads, G'dayin Klip, G'dayin Tila, that's how Malik goes. And the Rosh said, even that's not true. That the shear of spreading may not even be the same for Malik and Rosech. So that was one huge suffix that we had about Malik and Rosech, just in terms of technicality, how far did the Bleas go? Then we had another major doubt about Malik and Rosech, how much salt is necessary to create Malik and Rosech. So you had Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Yaakov Yisrael, the 2 days in Tosfos, about you need Malicha of Derech, like the sailors, like the navy, that you're preserving it for 6 months at a time, or just simply kashrut meat. That's also Malik Rosech. That was a major, major machlokes, with Raya's unresolved Raya's back and forth and back and forth. Then we had a third Shaila. What does Malik Rosech do? Even if we finally found the Malik Rosech, we've identified the amount of salt, now we have another Shaila, but what does it do? Does it merely cause bleas, or does it do more than that? Is it an act of Bishul or not? So we had a Machlekes and Rishonim on the level of Deraisa between the Ramban and the Ran yesterday. Does Malik Rosech create Bishul Deraisa or not? Unclear. And now we have a Machlekes Acharonim on the level of the Rabbanon. Does Maliach create Bishul vis-a-vis Erev Tavshilin? Magen Avraham said not really, and Chacham Tzvi said maybe yes, which is probably ultimately Machlekes Rishonim and Gersos. So we have four different Sfeikas about Malik Rosech. We don't know how far it goes. We're not sure how much salt you need. We're not sure whether it affects Bishul Deraisa. We're not sure whether it's called the Maisa Bishul Tzlimid Derabanan. We have so many things we don't know. But at least we spent 16 Maamar Kamos trying to be asked it. It's a mile to know what you don't know. So at least we have a lot of Sfeikas, a lot of Shailas. But at least we saw the Rosh HaBrachim and the Sugya as to what everything revolves around this somewhat cryptic halacha of Malik Rosech. Hopefully it's from tomorrow. Not tomorrow, on Friday. So we'll start the second half, not of the Sugya, but the follow-up sugya of Kavish Kimavushal. So we gave 2 weeks to Malik Rosech. We have to hopefully at least give equal time to the second half of Kavish Kimavushal. And a lot of Kavish Kimavushal is going to build on some of the Yesodas that we already began to develop in terms of Malik Rosech. Let's jump on Friday. We'll get to this.
Same relationship with Mavushal as Rosech.
That's the opening Chakira of Kavish Kimavushal.
Comments. When it comes to chametz and